Moeder en Meer is een podcast over de eerlijke, echte en hilarische kant van ouder zijn. Samantha en ik, Linda, praten over hoe alles soms net even anders loopt dan gepland. Van geboorteverhalen tot seksuele opvoeding en genderneutraal zijn, alles komt aan bod. Wees deel van ons dorp en luister mee.
Welcome to Moeder en Meer, and this is our 12th episode, and as you can tell, it will be in English, and I'm very, very excited to introduce you to Mariam de Groef. She's joining us from Canada over the internet, and we brought her on because we did a previous episode on food and everything that happens around feeding our children and how we go about it. Mariam is an integrative nutrition health coach, but she also has a daughter with severe allergies. And so we wanted to talk to Mariam to hear about what it means to have a child with allergies and how food and mealtimes look for her and how her journey has been. So hi, Mariam.
Hi, this is so exciting.
It really is. And it's very early for you. So thank you for waking up, rolling out of bed and straight.
No, it's okay. It's my pleasure.
So I just wanted to, let's start at the beginning. How did your journey begin?
So I have a very interesting relationship with food because I was diagnosed with cancer in 2011. And I thought that I had quite a healthy lifestyle. And I think something like that kind of pushes you to really reassess everything in your life, including like what you put in your body, what you put on your body. And so I really started to look at what I was eating, where it was coming from, how it was grown, and really started to look at nutrition like in a holistic way. And so where it, in the sense that how is my food grown? Has it been sprayed with pesticides? Is it from a small local farmer or does it come from a million miles away? Mm-hmm. And so I started to really look at that initially, and I really cleaned up my diet, and we started to try to eat more organic food and try to source things locally rather than things that were imported. And we developed quite a healthy lifestyle. And then 2 years after my treatment, I had my daughter, Zaina, who was a really healthy baby. I had an amazing pregnancy. And when she was about 18 months, she developed a lot of severe allergies. I won't go into why or what happened with her, but she suddenly was allergic to everything that she had been eating for the last 9 to 10 months. And we really had to look at what was happening with her. And initially it was this big shock of, okay, she can't now have bread, yogurt, cheese, milk. It was even silly things like apples, strawberries, pears. Wow. Yeah, it was things that you just wouldn't even think about. And for example, apples are in all kinds of baby foods. Like everything that you give to a baby is often like apple based and banana based. And so it was really difficult in the beginning. And going from this easy lifestyle of preparing things like green smoothies, and I really wanted her to have a really healthy start. And so her first foods were things like avocados, things that she could naturally eat, not things like cereals and breads and potatoes. Mm-hmm. And so she would have a green smoothie with me, and she would have avocados, and most of her foods were homemade anyway. And then I really had to start looking at what I was preparing and how I was preparing it. And It just was a really stressful period because you have this really go from this really carefree, healthy child to then every time she eats something, you're acutely aware of there being a reaction, and mainly her reaction was a rash around like a severe red rash around her mouth and then itching all over her body.
Oof.
And it just all of a sudden just started? Or did it
Yeah.
like.
So she had a health incident, which I don't really want to go into why it started because it's quite a controversial topic.
We love
Okay.
controversy.
Okay, well, so her reaction did actually start after her 18-month vaccination. And I tend not to publicize that too much because it's such a loaded topic, and there's people who just go nuts on either side of it. And I'm just a mum trying to get by and trying to
Of
do the
course,
best
yeah.
for my child. And so it's a really hard thing to kind of talk to people about because, like as I said, it's just a very loaded topic, and people on either side of the fence are like, it's because you did this, or it's not because you did that. And so, anyway, as a mum, like your child and you know what they are like every single day, and your mother instinct is there, and you are 24/7 with your child. And so when an incident takes place and then it suddenly changes the trajectory of your child's life, as a mum,
It's crazy though. Yeah, but
so
I do think it's important, and that's why I thank you for sharing this, even though it is such a loaded topic and people are going to have their opinions. But I do think it's very important that other mothers are aware. So that when something like that happens, they can trace it back and they can say, oh, maybe it was that, you know, or that they can link it to something because we always look for other things. I think because vaccines are such a standard thing in our society that we don't even dare to look at that because what does it mean if it does come from the vaccines? And so.
Exactly. And for me as well, it was really interesting because I was seeing a doctor and she completely negated that fact. And I was like, okay, well, prior to this incident, she was having milk and bread for the last 10 months, and suddenly post this, it's like she just can no longer have it. So it's almost
And it
like a
was really
trigger.
like overnight.
It was so she had this she had a polio vaccination, and for 2 days she was off her food, and she did have like a local rash at the site of her vaccination. And then she didn't really eat for 2 days. She had a very high fever. We almost took her to the hospital because it was so high, but it came down with medication. And then when she did start eating, it was immediately like I think I gave her a toast, and it was immediately like rash all over her mouth,
Oof.
which
Whoa.
I didn't really think that it was the food at that point because it never happened before. I thought, oh my God, what's happened?
Yeah, because it must take a while before you start like
And
realizing
then,
what it is.
yeah, and then the next morning, I think I gave her yogurt, and the same thing happened. And then from there, it was just like a catalyst of pretty much everything that she'd been eating.
My
So
God.
it was, and I think I met you when she was when she started school, so at two and a half. So all of these kind of allergies started around 18, 19 months. And then she started school at two and a half, and we had quite a journey. So my doctor was like, no, it's not this. And then I kind of sought other medical consultation. I
Of
found,
course, you try everything, huh?
yeah,
You hunt
I
everyone
tried.
down.
Yeah, so I did that. I was the crazy mom who was like, I need to find an answer for why this is happening. So
That's why we
we,
were friends, because you were the
yeah,
crazy mom.
exactly. So we found a homeopath who kind of tested her for all of these allergies, and it came out with all of this stuff. And She was like, okay, try to avoid this stuff. There was like this diagnosis, and then this like, okay, try to avoid this stuff and I'll see you again. And it was like, oh, what am I supposed to feed my child?
There's so much, yeah.
And so I kind of was like, oh, okay, like let's just give her like rice and veg and meat and veg. And it was just a very bland diet. And I think the hardest thing was when she started school, because then there's like birthdays and
Yeah.
there's lunches, and she was originally okay with spelt, and so sandwiches were still okay, and cooking things were okay, and at that point she was still okay with eggs, and so we've had quite a journey of like transitions between different like allergies as well. So originally it was gluten, dairy. Well, it wasn't gluten, it was wheat. So spelt was okay, and dairy, soy, corn, strawberries, bananas, chickpeas,
Oh my
lentils, like
God.
just the list was so long, and apples. And then slowly we cut those out, and we found a really amazing doctor, Dr. Bert Lefebvre. I'm just going to give him a shout out because he's in Belgium and he's amazing,
Your hero.
and he's my hero. No, he was a really well, so he was a really good doctor in the sense that he listened, and he acknowledged what we were going through, and then
Yeah.
he tried to give his expert opinion and advice on how to go about this, whereas other doctors are like, no, it's not that, it's not that. And I think as a parent, you want to be heard, and you want to know that that it's not all in your head, and that there's something very real. And
But
he
it must be re really hard for you though, because it's like such a difficult time, and then more doctors telling you like it's not possible. You have to be so strong in your thoughts and then.
And I had very like I realized that the medical environment or people doctors are very much trained in like one thing, and so
Yeah.
whenever we would go to a doctor about her respiratory issues, they would just be like, it's asthma. And then for the rashes, it was eczema. And I was like, okay, neither of these two things are what she has. And I was seen as a crazy mom who thinks she knows more than doctors. And I don't ever want to put myself in that position. But what I do know is I know my child more than
Yeah.
more than you do. And I know that when she's waking up coughing, she's definitely not wheezing, which is a classic sign of asthma. And I know that you telling me to give her an inhaler when she cannot even breathe in is not a solution to the situation. And so we went through lots of specialists, and I realized that people didn't want to treat her as a whole. They just wanted to treat parts of her.
That's such a difficult thing, eh? I hear it from more mothers
Yep.
that's like a big fail
Yep.
in medicine.
Yeah, and I think that's why I didn't stop looking for somebody who would look at her as a whole. And so someone like Bert, who is a GP, he's also a homeopath, and he's also trained in functional medicine. And functional medicine looks at how the body works as a whole, what kind of things are missing. It also looks at lifestyle. So it's all well and good if you are taking medication, but if you are still eating foods which are high in pesticides, for example, it doesn't help you. It's not going to help you achieve that optimal health that you're looking for. And so he looked at everything, and he ended up doing various tests on her, and we ended up coming to the diagnosis that she had leaky gut syndrome. And so leaky gut is when the gut lining is permeable, which basically means that there's tiny holes in there. And so what you eat is supposed to generally stay in your gut, but with leaky gut, the food and the toxins leak into the bloodstream. And so then body doesn't know what is friendly bacteria and what is bad bacteria, and it can often start to attack whatever is in the bloodstream.
Yeah.
Hence why sometimes she was okay with a food and then suddenly it would just be a no-no, and it comes down to that body having it all the time and thinking, okay, no, this is an invasion of something, and then it starts to attack. And so we found that with strawberries, like one summer she ate tons of strawberries because we used to go strawberry picking in Belgium, and so she was always having strawberries, and then all of a sudden she just started to develop rashes, and I was like, why is this? And then I realized, okay, she's eating them every day and her body doesn't know what it is that's coming in, and so we had to stop it for a while and then
So is
reintroduce them
that with every
slowly.
food? That if she eats something very often, that her body would attack it?
A lot of things. So we try to keep a varied diet. And so this is where I want to like kind of talk about food, and our thing with food is quite a struggle because she does have a scarcity mindset when it comes to food.
Okay, sorry, Mariam. Before we
Yeah.
go in there, I just
Yeah.
wanted to come back to the doctors being quite dismissive of like food creating things like, for me, asthma and eczema are also symptoms of allergic reactions. Like, I know when I drink wine, I start to wheeze, I start to have asthmatic symptoms. I think it's the sulfites. And my daughter, Ava, when she has too much dairy, like a little bit, like once a week, she can manage. But if she eats dairy every day, she starts to get asthma on the inside of her elbows. So the fact that they already dismiss that food is related to those symptoms, to me, it's like, yeah, I don't find that okay. It's like,
Yeah,
get
I
up
don't
to
think
date.
yeah, I don't think doctors are trained enough in nutrition, and
No.
there's a huge movement in the UK with Dr. Rupi Aujla. He's known as the Doctor's Kitchen on Instagram and
Okay.
Facebook, and
Oh, yes, I follow
he's
him because of
yeah.
you.
Yeah, so he's a GP in the UK and he has his own health story with food and nutrition, and he has just started a movement in the UK where they've included nutrition in like in a me on a medical degree. And
Yes.
I think until doctors are trained in nutrition, there's no way that we can move forward.
Absolutely.
Because you like a doctor needs to know that foods can be a lifeline, or it can be really, it can just be like what you eat can either feed your illness or starve it. And so we like doctors are, I think at the moment it's not even compulsory for them to learn anything about nutrition, maybe one module. But
And how can you
now,
separate the body from food? I mean,
yeah, it's
how?
something, yeah, you eat every day, like
Yes.
every day, like you're putting things into your mouth every day. And
Into your body, into your
I get that,
cells.
I get that too. And my brother is a heavy asthmatic and he has eczema as well, and it's now like he's well into his 40s, and it's only now that he realizes that when he eats too many eggs that he has a flare up, or when he when he drinks or has like chocolate, whatever, it gives him like an asthmatic attack. And so until doctors can say, okay, these are the things that you might want to avoid, not even like, okay, don't drink this, don't have that, but just even saying that these are things that can trigger an attack or an episode, so just be aware, is huge and would help people
Absolutely.
so immensely in their journey. And I think we underestimate the role that food and nutrition play in our health.
And that
It's
starts
just
really early because I know so many newborn babies that have like really severe cramps and everything, and everyone keeps on just like changing the formula or just thinking this is normal. But I
Yeah.
know so many moms that if they stop with everything dairy and all the like the high acid foods, that
Yeah.
the baby is so much better. So it's
Yeah.
even then, and doctors don't even acknowledge that. So it's crazy. So crazy.
No, I know. And it just comes down to that, oh, give them Infacol, give them gripe water, give them this. And it begins, yeah, it begins in the womb, right, as well. That what are we feeding our children, and do we know what we need at certain stages of pregnancy and what things are developing? And I think we, as a nation or even globally, I think we're lacking in that department. Like, we don't educate people enough, and in schools we're not taught about nutrition and how to make and produce food, and cooking isn't a part of any curriculum, like I guess a standard curriculum, let's say, not any kind of special school. But cooking isn't there, growing your own food isn't there, getting your hands dirty and like teaching children about like their gut and their microbiome and just things like that. I think it just starts from such a young age. And if we can start educating our children now and then having them grow up to be conscious adults, and then who are then going to maybe have children, and them knowing and being aware of what their body needs, is just a huge, it's just a thing that we need to work towards.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Amen. Amen. All right. So a little diversion, but you were gonna share something about Zena's scarcity
Oh yeah,
mentality, was
mindset.
yeah.
Yeah, so I did. I very quickly noticed that I became her food provider, and so it started off as quite a funny thing. Like, whenever I would pick her up from school, she wouldn't say hi, mama, like the other kids. She would say, "Did you bring me a snack?" And so I, in the beginning it was funny, and then I was like, okay, no, Zaina, you have to say hi, mama, how are you? And I am going to ask you, how's your day? And then you can say, did I bring you a snack?
Was it
And
because she's hungry or?
I think just because she knows that she knew that I was the food provider, and that
The
I,
only one.
the only one, and I
Yeah.
knew, and she knew that whatever I had in my bag was for her. And so
And
it
she was
was this
allowed to eat
almost,
it.
and she was allowed to eat it. And it was this almost this attachment to my bag. And if I had forgotten my bag at home, let's say I'd put a cookie in my coat pocket and I didn't have my handbag, she would immediately be like, "Mama, where's your bag? Where's the bag? Where's my snacks?" And so I noticed that in the beginning, that it started like that. And so I had to keep teaching her that there's always enough food for you, there'll always be something for you, I'll always have something for you.
Oh, that's sad though, because
It
it's
is
like
sad.
weird that you have to think about will I be hungry?
It is sad. And actually, when because we had a move out of the city and then back into the city when we lived in
Yeah.
Antwerp, and when we moved schools, I just rem and my children are big foodies. Both of them are foodies. We come from a big foodie family, like my family and Nils's family. We just like everything is
You
around
like to
food.
eat.
We like to eat. We like to make food. We like to give people food, and it's just like this thing. And so, I just remember this one incident in school where I didn't know it was somebody's birthday. And so I hadn't sent anything in, and everyone had cake, and the teacher gave Zaina a rice cracker.
Oh.
And she was so upset. She was so angry. She came home.
Especially if you're like 4 years old.
Yeah, well, I think
Like,
three then. She was about three.
yeah. Oh, crap.
She came home and she was so angry with me, and she was so upset. And I was upset too, because had the teacher told me there's a birthday tomorrow, I would have made something. And it was like a big catalyst for her, for like being I guess having this, yeah, this scarcity mindset. And so she was always like, whenever I gave her a cookie, she would say immediately, "Can I have two? Can I have another one?" before she'd even finished it. And I noticed as well that she would just wolf the first one down so that she could have the second one. And I really had to say to her, "There is another one for you, but you need to enjoy and taste the first one and not stuff it into your mouth." And I think these are habits that I'm trying to break now because I don't want her to grow up and have these. We've seen it time and time again where people eat their feelings, right? When they're
Of
angry, when
course,
they're
yeah.
sad, when they're happy, you turn to food. And I don't want her to have this relationship with food where she's emotionally eating
But it
and
must be
where she.
really difficult, though, to not put too much weight on her food because her food is so special and there's so much attention around it. Like, how do you keep it airy?
Yeah, I think I've always tried to get her involved with cooking her food and showing her that there's enough. So obviously when we're cooking, she can see a whole pan versus me putting a plate in front of her. And so that has really helped as well in that when she can see that there's a substantial amount or that there's more than one, that she is like, okay, it's not going to be that it's just the one. And it has come from the fact that, okay, if she eats what she has, no one else can give her anything. So if she's hungry later, what is she going to eat? And so I've had to tell her that there's enough food for her lunch, for her dinner, for her breakfast, for her snacks. And she's a big sharer as well, so she'll often share whatever she has. And I've had to try to tell her it's really nice that you want to share your food, but
But it's super expensive, and I had 3 hours making it,
well, not just that, it's the
so.
fact that if there's other children around, right, that they can eat anything and everything, whereas she can't. And so if she is giving out her the four cookies that I've sent for her, that she has to realize that it's really nice for her to do that, but then
There's no more cookies.
there's no more cookies for her, or there's no more whatever she has. And so I'm still very grateful that she's still a very much a sharing child. Like, she's 7 now, and we've been through lots of ups and downs with her, and we still often have to change what she's eating and what she's having and what it like how we're preparing her food. But I still am so grateful that she is still a very kind and considerate child, and if she sees somebody that doesn't have something, she will share hers. And it just really makes me feel good that I'm raising a kind human being, and that her food insecurities aren't going to affect her personality or her being. But it
What I think here is actually real opportunity to educate other parents as well, because when I
yeah.
have to make a birthday cake for the class, I always mail the teacher and say, are there any allergies that I need to be aware of? And I always
Exactly.
bake a cake that everybody in the class can eat.
Yeah.
And
I
I think it's a lame excuse or yeah, maybe it's not lame, maybe that's a bit harsh, but when parents say, oh, I don't know how to cook that,
Yeah,
so much information available on the internet, on books, on Instagram.
yeah.
But Samantha, if there's like four allergies in.
Hello?
Hello. Oh, I think we've lost her.
Yeah.
I think I get what Linda was going to say. I think she was going to say that if there's four or five allergies in a class, like, how do you cater for that? But I think the best way that you can do that is to speak to all the parents and see if you can come up with a class, if you can come up with a class recipe that maybe most parents can turn to so that every child is included. And inclusivity is a huge thing for us because Zaina has been left out so many times. And that excuse of, I'm sorry, we didn't know how to cater for her is a really lame excuse because at birthday parties, you can have things that are allergy friendly, like a simple thing like a fruit. You can say, okay, what fruits can she have? What fruits are they allowed to eat? And
I'm
there are
sorry, I
always.
missed the whole part because I was out. Sorry. So.
I was just saying that I think you were going to say if there's multiple allergies in a classroom, how can parents cater to that? And I
Not really
suggested.
that, but like expecting everyone to be able to make a gluten-free, sugar-free, that kind of cake, like bring
Yeah.
something else maybe, but.
Yeah. I think, and then what I was saying is that the best way around that is maybe get together with all the parents and see if there's one recipe that all the parents can use that caters for all the children, which means that no one is left out. And so, the prime example is in Antwerp, in the school, there were a couple of kids that were Jane kids, and Jane people don't eat anything that grows underground. And so just knowing that they are also not left out, and that vegans, for example, are not left out because there's eggs in the in a cake, is it's huge. And I think children need to be included in this, and yeah, maybe an option is to make a cake from fruit, for example, like
I've
this.
done that. I've made a watermelon pirate boat with like fruit skewers in it.
Exactly.
You're so extra.
In the kitchen,
Like, that's where I think I've also found creativity in finding ways to make inclusive food. And we have that thing as well, this stigma that, oh, because she can't have dairy, wheat, eggs, chickpeas, whatever, 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 that her food is boring. And actually, it's not boring, and it does have taste, and it is nutritious. And
So maybe the other moms could just come out and ask you, like, can you help me? What can I make?
exactly,
Absolutely.
absolutely. I think I would love that because I know that they're including my child. And there are some friends in my friend circle that have been amazing people and who have really been like, okay, what can I make her for this birthday, or what can I put in her goodie bag, for example. And then there's other people that are like, oh, she has allergies, could you bring something for her? And then I've had the extreme where someone's like, oh, do you think that I shouldn't invite Zaina because
Oh
what
boy.
will
Oh
she
my
eat?
God.
Yeah, and so it's this huge thing. And what I found really interesting in Canada, moving here, obviously she hasn't been to school for very long because of COVID, but
Oh God, yeah.
what I noticed here is that they do take allergies really seriously because there's a huge nut allergy. So most schools are all nut free. And then for birthdays, they try to say, don't send any food, try to send something like a pencil or a sticker or some other way to celebrate.
Nice. That's what we noticed with the COVID thing now. They're not allowed to bring food anymore. So now they started giving flowers and stones with drawings on it or shell or something. It's really nice.
It is
And
actually really, really nice.
I think it moves away from this like heavy food stigma, right? That we have to celebrate birthdays with like food and a cake and something like, yeah, that it's not a celebration if you don't have these things. And I do, it's a very difficult situation as a parent because I'm now living closer to extended family, and they've never had to take Zaina's allergies into consideration. And
I can imagine that's hard.
now all of a sudden they're like, well, what's Zaina gonna eat? And whereas before I used to take something with me, or I'd used to make something there. Now I'm like, okay, but we live here permanently, so she's gonna be in your lives permanently. And if she wants to have a sleepover, I don't want to have to send all of her stuff. So you guys have to learn what she can eat. And so slowly, they're starting to do that. But they're also from a generation where food allergies weren't ever a big thing. And this like gluten thing is really hard for them to get their
I
head
can
around.
imagine that. Oh my God.
And so,
No sugar is like the max I can get in here.
with gluten, they're like, oh, can she have this? Like, for example, my mom, can she have Weetabix? And I'm like, Mama,
But
Weetabix.
that's it. They don't even realize half of the time what they are giving.
Yeah, and so it's been a really like new experience to kind of educate them and get them on board with having to think about somebody's foods, because I've been like, hey, well, if she's coming, if you've invited us for dinner, then you have to make something that she can eat.
Of course, yeah.
And it comes down to lots of things, like you don't even think about it. In some spices, they put flour to thicken it up. And if you don't even have an allergy mindset or a frame of mind, you don't even think about those things that gluten can crop up in, like so many small things,
Yeah.
like baking powder has it in it, and stock cubes can have it in,
Yes.
and just so many things that you just don't even like think about as a person without allergies.
Yeah. And
And
depending
so,
on the severity,
yeah.
even traces of
Yeah.
allergens can
Yeah.
be
I mean,
really intense.
a big thing for her once upon a time was soy lecithin, which is in
It's a
lots of
binder,
things like,
right?
yeah, for chocolate. Yeah, it's a binder. And so it comes in lots of things like chocolate and cereal bars and what have you. And so before she would react to even that. And so it like people don't even people some people don't even know what soy lecithin is and what it does. And
I don't know.
yeah, and so it's about it's a binder, and you have soy.
Emulsifier. It binds water to oil, so it
Yeah.
can
Okay.
mix and doesn't separate.
Yeah, and so that's often why it's in chocolate,
Yeah.
because you have this often you have like cocoa butter and oily products, and then you might have some water or something that needs to help it mix in together. And so now there's lots of like sunflower lecithin as well, and so lots of people who have allergies can have chocolates, for example, with sunflower lecithin. And this is something that no one even thinks about, and people are just like,
So you read every label of everything that you give her?
everything.
And do
Yeah.
you now just know everything, or do you still have to read everything?
So we had a real shock when we moved here.
Of course, yeah, because you're out of your normal
Well,
products.
okay, one is that in Europe they have to list, I think, up to 13 allergens, and here it's 10, I believe. And so there's already that difference of like what allergens that are listed. Then two, some of the same products, I'll give you an example, the vegan Magnums in Belgium, we could buy them because they are gluten-free and they're dairy-free and they're nut-free and they're soy-free. And so when we moved here, we just like Neil saw them and grabbed them because he was like, oh, home. Like it was a home, like quote unquote, a homely comfort that we knew Zaina could have. And he just grabbed it and he bought it and put it in the freezer. And then I just happened to like look at the ingredients and I was like, there's wheat in these. And so, yeah. And so it was just like, yeah, it was really a big eye opener of, okay, we can't just grab the same brand without
So it
looking
has to
at it.
start all over.
I had to start all over. And some of the things that we've had a real adjustment to is bread, because in Antwerp we had the amazing bakery Ryuji.
Yes.
I have to give them a plug out. They were amazing and their breads were amazing, and Zaina loved them. And they also had amazing cakes and tartlets and everything that she could eat. And moving here, I think the bakery culture is not as it is in Europe anyway. And bread is very processed here, and so finding her a gluten-free bread that didn't have egg in it was a mission in itself. And
And did you
then,
find it?
well, we found one bread that she kind of likes, but she will always tell me every now and then that she misses the bread in Antwerp.
Oh.
So I know that it's not hitting the spot as it should.
No.
And then things like rice crackers, they're not the same consistency here. Like they just crumble and fall apart, and you just have like rice puffs everywhere. Like little tartlets and cakes, for example, are not really like hugely available here. On the plus side, there's lots of bakeries that sell like allergen-friendly cakes. So this year, or should I should say last year, was the first year that I found a company that I could just go and buy cakes, and she could eat cakes from the shop. And it was, she was like, "Can I eat this, Mama? Are you sure I can eat this?"
Oh.
And it was a cupcake, and it had icing on it, and it was just like, it looked like a real cupcake. And she just couldn't believe that she could eat it, and she was just like, "Ah!" And I have to give that company a plug as well. They're called Bonbon Collection, and they're in Montreal, and it's a Belgian company. It's a Belgian couple who moved
Oh,
from Belgium.
really?
Yeah,
Interesting.
we found them by accident, actually.
And they're your
We
best friends now?
they became our go-to for, and I met the guy who's responsible, like one half of the couple, and he was really friendly and told us like different places where we could get allergy. His daughters have allergies,
Oh, that's
and
great.
I think that's why they ended up founding this company. And they do like dairy-free, gluten-free, soy-free, egg-free desserts, and they do like cake pops, cakes, and at
Wow.
Christmas time they did like frozen, well, like the bûche that you buy, bûche de Noël. And then they make like a cookie mix that you can make at home, which you just add like a few ingredients to, and then they make like decorate your own gingerbread house, just like really inclusive things that you, at times of the year where you're like, "Oh my God, what am I going to buy for my kid? And what am I going to do for this for my child?" And they've just really thought about it. And I'm just sad that they're not available in Ontario. So I keep like hoping that one day they'll like branch out into stores here. And but they did. They were a lifesaver at a time when we had so many different changes going on in our lives. And food was like, food is a central thing, right? You have to eat
Yeah,
all
definitely.
the
So, is it costing you an arm and a leg to feed your child? Because it
Oh
sounds
my
really
God.
expensive.
You have no idea. You
Yeah,
have
I
no
can
idea.
imagine.
So her bread costs $7 plus tax.
Ouch.
And to put that into perspective, like the norm, like normal bread that we buy. Oh, and it's a small loaf.
Of course.
Which is half the size of a normal loaf, and
Wow.
the normal loaf is like $3, $4, so it's like
Whoa.
double the price. Yeah, we
Double the
spent,
price and half the bread.
yeah, we easily spend like what we spend for the three of us, we easily spend alone on her.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not cheap at all, which is why I try to make things at home myself, because buying, for example, buying a 1 kilo bag of oat flour is going to make me a lot of cookies and muffins. And I don't, and obviously oat flour is expensive as well, so yeah, a regular bag of flour might be $1 or $2, and her oat flour for a kilo bag was like $13.
Oh.
Crap. And then you find hacks like buying gluten-free oats and then grinding it to make your own flour. It's cheaper, and so you find these hacks as an allergy parent. And I,
But
yeah,
still a lot of time and a lot of money. Wow.
a lot of time and a lot of money, and I have to. And I do have to think about her a lot more than I have to think about Ziva. With her, I'm just with Ziva, I'm just like, well, she'll just eat whatever is from outside. And with Zayn, I have to be like, okay, well, where are we going to be for lunch? What are we having for lunch? Are we going to be home in time for dinner, or is there a place that we can stop and get her something, or do I have to make it? So there's a lot of time and a lot of
Consideration.
consideration, and I do have to say
Energy.
that, yeah, and I have to say that life has been difficult. I had to give up my job because she was sick a lot, and that is pressure on a family who then has to live on one income. So when you have like this huge expense and only one income coming in, it puts a lot of strain on you financially, it puts a lot of strain on your relationships. And it's tough,
Especially because
and
it
it's
feels so unfair. It's like you didn't
yeah.
choose this. She didn't choose it.
No, she didn't choose it, and I didn't choose it. And I think the reality is that we just have to get on with it. And I try to take it on with the stride in our stride. And a few times Dana has said to me, why do I have allergies, and why did God give me allergies? And it's heartbreaking. And the only thing that I can say to her is, maybe this is a lesson for you, that you grow up and it teaches you how to include others in things, how to think about other people. Maybe it's building your strength and character. And I just had to keep talking to her about it and being open to her. And now we've found a new doctor, and I've very much included Zaina in the decision-making process of like what she's going to be taking.
Of course, she's seven, so she understands everything now. It's different than in the beginning when you were still finding out what to do. Seven
And
is like
I know, and she is sometimes will say to me, I don't want to eat that. Whereas before she'd just eat it and be like very compliant, okay, this is my food. And now she'll just say, I don't want to eat that. And I'm like, and I have to say, okay, what do you want to eat? What are we going to eat? And so just having her advocate for herself and have her in the decision making process is a huge part of where we're heading. And teaching her, like, we started to try and grow some vegetables. We've had a bit of an epic fail, but it's been a good process. It's fun.
It
It's been a good process teaching her, like, hey, you have to plant the seed, then you have to water it. It takes time, and this is how food grows. And getting her involved and getting her hands dirty, and showing
She'll
her
have to
that.
know for when she grows up and she has to do it herself. It's different than like the common student that starts to boil an egg when he's 18. Like she really has to have
She does.
her
She
stuff
does.
together.
Yeah, and now we're having conversations of like, okay, when she's defiant, well, I say defiant, when she speaks up that I don't want to eat this, I want to eat that, and I have to have a very real conversation with her and say, okay, well, you know that you're allergic to that, so you know that the outcome of that is either you're going to have a tummy ache, you're not going to be able to go for a number two, or you are, or we're going to have to use an EpiPen on you. And so then we talk about those three options, and I ask her, does she still want to eat it? And so 10 to 10 out of 10 times so far, she's been like, no, I don't want to do that. But she has to decide whether it's worth it for her. And I have to have those real conversations with her. Okay, if you want that, this is the outcome that's going to happen. And before, we never used to talk to her about the fact that we had an EpiPen for her because we've never had to use it. And now she's in at that age where, okay, if I jab her with an EpiPen, it's going to be very like she's going to know about it. And so now we're having a conversation. Okay, if you have an allergic reaction, there might be a case where we have to use this, and this is what it does, and this is what it's for, and this is what you might feel. And I can only tell her what it might feel like because I've never had it and I've never had to give it. And so the conversations are difficult, but we try to have them regularly. We try to find her things that she likes the taste of, because I don't want her eating things just because she can have them but they don't taste good. And the struggle is real. It's there every day. It doesn't never go away. It's just, some days are easy, some days are hard, some days are very organized, some days we fail. An example of that is that at Thanksgiving time, everyone was drinking juice and or some fizzy pop, and Nils let her drink something that was red, and she's allergic to red coloring, so it's really, really dumb things. And she had this fizzy pop, and then she had a rash around her mouth, and so it's just like, oh, why did I do that? And for me as well, like we buy a brand of cereal, and one day I saw these like cinnamon cereal, and I just picked it up, and it was cinnamon and peanut butter, and Nils was like, this has peanut butter in it. What were you thinking? And I was like, oh my God, I didn't even read the peanut butter sign. And so like obviously she didn't eat that. But we do have fails, and we do struggle with things, and cross contamination is a huge thing in our house, because there's gluten eaters and there's a non-gluten eaters, and keeping things separately and keeping the place that we toast her bread separate. And I also eat the way she eats, so that she oh, another thing, yeah, one thing I wanted to say is that we changed as a family, and so initially I was cooking her meal separately, and then I was cooking our meal, and it became really obvious that that wasn't sustainable, one, and two, that I didn't want home to be an environment where she is told no. And so in our house, we do have things like gluten bread and cheese and milk, no milk, but eggs and yogurt for Nils and Ziva. But generally speaking, we all eat the same. I don't make two meals. Like, we eat the same breakfast, the same lunch, the same dinner. And if they want to eat something else, then they can have an egg and they can have their yogurt. But I don't ever want to say no to her at home, and that was really important to me. And we agreed as a family that that's what we would do, that at home we shouldn't have to say no to her, that she should be able to pick something off our plate without us saying, no, you can't have that. And so home is an environment that's safe for her, and that's why we have to kind of keep contamination to a minimum. And thankfully she isn't reactive to cross contamination like other people are. And we haven't had any problems with that, and I'm just thankful that that's not an issue, because if we had that to deal with as well, it would be really hard to go to anyone's house to have her stay at my mum's or stay at my brother's. And I don't, I'm glad. I'm just glad that that's not an issue.
So to conclude this wonderful chat, inclusivity is a really big thing. I also hear you in that you doing all of this by yourself, preparing things in advance, and I understand that not all restaurants are able to cater, but is like what are the top things that we as parents of children that are in the class of children who have allergies, how can we best support children like Zaina and mothers like you who have to, really, really take all these allergies in consideration? Like, how can we be supportive as parents, as schools, as whatever?
I think it's that open conversation, right? Just talking to the parent and the child openly about how they feel, how they're feeling, even just saying, oh, how are you? Like, how are you? Just because it's hard, and nobody can really understand the full extent to what you go through. But somebody saying, and I mean, you guys did it with me. Like, how are you? Like, how are things? And really like listening. And I think small things like maybe saying, well, hey, can you send a picture of like that one cookie that Zaina loves? And so that you know where you can buy it from and you know what it is, and that you don't have to say, oh, well, I just didn't know what she can and can't eat. I think that is huge, just saying, okay, can you just send me a picture of like a couple of the things that she can eat? So that I can grab them. And for schools as well, like saying, well, we make rice pudding, for example, in the science school, we make rice pudding on a Wednesday. Do you think you could bring in some oat milk so I can make her rice pudding and it's dairy free then? Just things like small things like that, like how can I change this recipe a little bit so that she's included? Or yeah, even like collaborating, like can I come over or can you come over and show me how to make something that is friendly for everyone to eat? And I think having these open conversations are just like the start of something huge, because it then just increases people's awareness and understanding of how somebody is living. And allergies can be debilitating in the fact that some people cannot go anywhere. And so having them be included in school, which is like a main part of a child's life, is a huge step. And I think if you look on Instagram and Facebook, there's these huge like allergy movements where parents are trying to raise awareness in schools with other parents, for other parents, for their children, for other children. It's just like a huge movement now. And honestly, the information is available. And yes, people's allergies are different, so you can't just umbrella allergies under one thing. But being aware that inclusivity is an issue and that food anxiety is a huge issue. And that anxiety of am I going to have something, or is this going to give me a reaction, are two very real things, and they can be quite mild or they can be very severe and debilitating. And thankfully, like ours aren't there, but I do know people who have very debilitating anxiety of not being able to eat somewhere or go to a function or a wedding or a party or a birthday. And that it's a problem, and it's sad, and it's huge, and there's just so much work to be done.
Because it's not just inclusivity, because you mentioned, the giant kids and also people who choose to eat a vegan or a vegetarian meal. I mean, I was strict vegan for a while, and I just remember how people would rather judge that and consider you difficult rather than understanding and respecting. So it's even if it's like a choice, allergy isn't a choice, but there does need to come, inclusivity so that everybody, whatever reason, feels included. Because like you say, food is a massive thing. I mean, our house runs, like lives, we live around the kitchen, we live in the kitchen, so.
And when it's such a huge integral part of your life, and then there's people that don't, I mean, and even in Belgium, like Christmas, for example, and being invited to family barbecues, it's really hard when they don't consider like your child or what you might go through. And so an event where you should turn up carefree becomes a stressful situation where you have to think, okay, are they going to have a dessert? And if everyone's eating ice cream, I'm like, what am I going to give my child? Because my child might not want a cookie when everyone's eating ice cream, because she also loves ice cream. And so just being aware that these times can be like high stress situations for both the parent and the child, and trying to Just even being aware of that is huge, because then you're going to think, okay, well, how would I feel if I was in that situation? And as soon as you think, well, how would I feel if there wasn't anything for me to eat? You then can empathize and know how to kind of deal with that. And it's just about these open conversations of, okay, what can she have and what can we do? And can we help you make it easier for you and for her? And again, that doesn't have to just be with allergies. It can be with a vegan diet or with a Jain diet or even with a halal diet
Yes,
for some people.
absolutely. Yes.
Or a kosher diet. And so we as a community have to move from this like individual thing where, okay, that's not my problem, to like a more community, a community-based approach where you think about the person who you've invited or you are living with or going to school with, and kind of include them in your conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, lots of advocating work to do.
Yeah, for sure.
Advocating, educating. So, do you have any ideas to start giving workshops in schools about this?
Yeah, I think when I was in Belgium, I was trying to talk a lot with the teachers about how to go about this, and then we moved. And so one of my goals here, when things kind of go back to the way that they, I won't say normal because we don't know what normal is anymore, go back to running a bit more smoothly. I want to try to go into schools and colleges and workplaces and try to teach like workshops on how to adapt, like even like a vending machine, for example, in the workplace. Just having the awareness that it can often not be allergy friendly. And so just going in and talking to them about how they're including people with allergies or with food restrictions or dietary requirements, how they can be inclusive to those. And then teaching a workshop on how to make a couple of allergy friendly or dietary friendly like snack ideas, for example, like an energy ball or a snack bar that is top A allergy free and is halal and vegan friendly, for example. And it's possible, right? It's not impossible. And so, yeah, that's my aim, and I would like to do that. We'll see how that goes, because I'm not sure of like the rules around food and children and food and schools, but that's my aim. And if not, I'm something that I want to maybe put some videos out online. And as you know, I was writing a cookbook which was allergy friendly, still in the making. It's on hold at the moment, but it's still there. And I'm still very much hoping that that can be something that I can complete this year. And have that out in either a PDF format or a small, yeah, maybe a small ebook. And so having those resources available to people who maybe want to make something that is allergy friendly and is vegan friendly can just find those recipes easily. And the internet is, I mean, the information is available at our fingertips if we really want to do the work. It's just doing the work. You can type in to Google vegan, nut free, egg free cookie, for example, and you will come up with 100 recipes, and you can refine them to your own. And a lot of times we do that. We find a recipe and we're like, okay, we'll sub the eggs for flax seeds. We'll sub the flour for oat flour, and sometimes it's a disaster and sometimes it makes an amazing result. And it's about learning, right? It's about learning what works and what doesn't work, and it's about getting the children involved and have them seeing that, okay, that didn't work, okay, we'll have to try again. And yeah, so we try to like friendlyfy, Zaina friendlyfy a lot of recipes. And And sometimes it's easy and sometimes it's not, and we just go with it.
Yes, such is life.
But I want to thank you for doing this because I think it's really important that people are aware that life is difficult and is hard and isn't easy, and there are things that you can do to kind of lessen that and kind of help in the sense that you're supporting somebody who is going through a difficult time.
Yeah, I think it's really important as mothers. I mean, it's there's already so many pressures, and we hope, I mean, the aim with the episodes is actually to, find ways that we can support each other, even if it's from a distance, even if it's within our own communities. You're doing your work in Canada, we'll try and do the work here,
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, and just finding those people that can help you. And so finding a doctor like Bert, or finding a bakery like Eugene, and showing them that you support them, and that you're going to buy from them, and that they're not going to go out of business, for example, because not enough people are aware that they're there. And from a medical side, knowing that there's a doctor who is a traditional doctor, is a classic doctor, but also does holistic medicine and can look at things in different way, is finding that team that can kind of help you in different areas in your life.
And have you found that in Ontario yet? Still looking.
So, no, well, we found an amazing naturopath. Her name is Dr. Michelle Paris. Again, I'm going to give her a plug. She is a naturopath, and she does like pediatric naturopathy. She has two kids who are similar ages to Zaina and Ziva. And what I found with having a mum see you in a health capacity is, one, she understands where you're coming from and the struggles, and two, she's aware of what having children means and is about, and what things that you go through. And so that has been a huge thing. And two, she just listens and is very attentive to what we're going through, and then gives us recommendations based on that. And it's all well and good to say, okay, your child needs to take this, but if something tastes disgusting and you know that they're not going to take it, that that's not going to work. And so she's a very much a person who gives you options. And so we've been seeing her now for 2 months, and the difference, yeah, and the difference in Zaina's health has been huge, and she looks healthier. We've had a few comments from family members who've said that her color has changed, and her appearance is very different. And so those things to me indicate that we're moving in the right direction. And so I do miss Bert. But we moved, and we have to find somebody who can help us here. And he isn't a GP, so we do have that kind of anxiety that what happens if we see her and things kind of go wrong. But one of the nice things is that she does work with a few GPs that kind of work with her hand in hand, and so ha knowing that there's kind of a team that supports you is good too. So we haven't found a GP yet, but she's given us a few recommendations, and hopefully through that we can work with somebody who will be supportive of us seeing a naturopath and going a more holistic route, but in the event that we do need medical intervention, that they are there for us.
That's beautiful when they collaborate like that. I think it's so
Yeah.
powerful
Yeah,
and
I
so
think.
supportive for the people that are going through all this.
Yeah, because you don't want to see a doctor who's like, I don't believe in that kind of stuff, and that stuff doesn't work. You don't want to be seen by somebody like that, because they'll always put down the things that you're trying to do with your health. And I think that that's just it's not beneficial for either party to
No.
be in that kind of relationship. And so yeah, so I hope that we can find somebody who works hand in hand with her, and One of the things here is that GPs are quite full, and so getting into somewhere is quite difficult. And I'm hoping that that's not the case, because finding someone that's a good fit for Zaina is going to be important for her in the long run. But yeah, as I said, we're doing amazing with this naturopath, and she is very supportive in us using essential oils and homeopathy, and she is very much like a food and supplement kind of person, not just a medication and supplement kind of direction. So yeah, we love that.
Awesome. I think we're going to wrap it up here. I'm going to link your Instagram in our announcement so that people can find you. I know that you've posted some recipes in the past in your Instagram feed. So people who are curious, you can always go there and check that out.
There will be more coming.
And then we'll try and get you to write down all the names and send them so that we can, or you can tag them yourself
Yeah,
at
I'll tag them. That will be easier for me to do. And I think just putting people's names out there so that people know that there are people who can help you and that who can build this community is really important.
Yes, absolutely. So thank you very much again for your time.
Thanks for having me.
And you have a wonderful day. I know it's early in the
You guys too.
morning, but all right. Take care.
Okay,
Bye.
bye. Bye.